This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Build this thing one game at a time, one brick at a time, whether we win the next two or we don't.
Looks, lobs it left side for Tyreek Hill. He's got it. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Centeio cuts. He gets to the 10. 5. Touchdown.
Oh, wow. Micah, that was that Football Friday was from like 7 years ago. That was Steve Adazio with a brick by brick thing there. Are you trying to create some... some bad
nostalgia
vibes for Colorado State? How can I just let me pull back the curtain? Let me pull. How did you get one from like 7 years ago? How did that even happen? I'm just curious.
The system.
Oh wow, that's Steve Adazio brick by brick there to start. Do you have the original? Do you have the real one? Do you want to play that one? Because I think we need to get the bad taste out of our mouth. It is a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Hopefully we don't have to hear from Steve Adazio ever again. You just pissed off a lot of Rams fans to start this Football Friday off, Mike.
I'm sorry, but the Rams fans, they don't deserve it.
They don't deserve that.
I'm mad about the UNC thing.
They don't deserve that. That nobody deserves the brick by brick, you know, this close with Steve Adazio. Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse.
Big City Roadhouse presents Football Friday.
Nix rolls to his right, design roll, throws the ball back in the end zone. Touchdown, Denver! The catch by Adam Troutman. Really well-designed play.
Looking toward the end zone. Hands a man. Touchdown! That's Garrison again.
It's Allen behind him. Life rolls to the right. Zonka to the end zone. Touchdown, Air Force.
Four-man rush. Staub. Big hole up the middle. Staub toward the end zone. Ball pops out. And it's covered up by Colorado. And it's a Buffalo's touchdown.
And Kelly. Touchdown. Wyoming gets in.
Here's Levant on the right side, pushing his way ahead. He is in. Touchdown. Colorado State. The second touchdown of the night for Lloyd Levant.
All right, there we go. That's better, Mike. That's better. I mean, we do stuff here so much. All, you know, we have so many different recordings, and apparently they just kind of hang out like on the cobweb of our system, and they're just kind of there. They bring us back to yesteryear, and I guess maybe, Michael, that was a subliminal way of you telling Rams fans,
I'm mad about the UNC game.
No, I'm trying to bail you out, and you just dig another hole. I was trying to say that's you trying to tell Rams fans that it could be worse. The Jay Norvell era has been nothing like the Steve Adazio era, and I'm thinking that subliminally that's what you were doing right there.
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing.
You're still mad about the UNC thing. Get over it, man. It's over. It's already been a week. It's almost 2 weeks since that's happened.
Rams fans' fault or the Rams themselves.
It's time to move on. It's time to move on.
I'm still bitter. I hold grudges.
Well, fortunately for the Bears, it's not going to keep them out of bowl contention. It's not going to keep them out of the top 25. Might have got them in. Might have got them somewhat close to there, I guess, with the FCS. But the Bears turn the page. They're looking to take on Houston Christian this weekend. Air Force and Boise State going at it. CSU and UTSA. CU and Wyoming, that's my game of the week. That's the one I'm most interested in this weekend. Although I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it because I believe I'm going to Canvas tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, I like to go to games when I have the opportunity to. Nights are always better for me. But I also want to sit on my butt on the couch and go back and forth. So that the decisions will need to be made. And we'll let you know. Follow me on X at Whole Show and you'll find out if I'm sitting on my couch tomorrow or if I'm actually going to go out and about and be amongst the people. That could be a scary thing. Denver Broncos taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Whew, that's a big game, Mike. That is a big, big game early on in the season. You don't want the Chargers to start running away with this thing. And if they start off 3-0, and the important thing on that 3-0 would be they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Raiders, and they beat the Broncos. So all division wins for the Los Angeles Chargers. They'd already split with their opponents. So that's a big one. Last night, unfortunately, Michael's still learning the spread rules. He thought I won. He texted me last night, and he's like, you did it, 3-0. He's so excited. I said, no, the spread was 12.5. The Bills only won by 10. Dolphins cover.
I was being hopeful.
And then you were sad again. I wish I was in that world again, Mike, where life was that easy, where I could just pick a winner. And you don't have to worry about the spreads and all that, but we have to challenge ourselves on this show, and that's what we try to do on the Thursday Night Special, and unfortunately, you lose some. We're 2-1. We got to go back to the film room, and we got to learn from our mistakes. You know what, Mike? Full disclosure, there was a tiny part of me that was like, before the pick, do the Dolphins win this thing? Because the Dolphins are in a desperate situation. Mike McDaniel in a desperate situation. But then I quickly dismissed that thought and said, no, I go against the Bills too much, too often, and it usually bites me. And of course, this time around, the Bills just kind of, I don't know, second half, they kind of approached it like, we'll probably win it. We'll just kind of, you know, sleepwalk through. And it almost bit them. I mean, it's tied 21-21 with 10 minutes left in the game. Bills go to punt it at midfield. And then defensive tackle for the Bills is a pretty good D tackle for him. Zach Seiler, is it Seiler? He was flagged for roughing the punter. And it was. It's always unfortunate because he's going for the block. He's clearly not going for the punter. But that's the rub. You got to be careful when you're going in there for the block and make sure you're not in a position to, when you fall, take the punter out. They don't want you being reckless back there. So it was the right call. Bills take advantage of it. They go score. They go up 28-21. Tua is driving. Dolphins are driving. And then Tua throws an interception, and that pretty much ended that bad boy. 31-21. Bills win. Bills are 3-0 on the season, and the Dolphins are 0-2. And Mike McDaniel is, I would say, he is certainly on the hot seat at this point. Although, I saw some good things for Miami, and that looked a little bit more like kind of what we thought this was going to be, or what Dolphins fans, at least, our boy Angel, what he was hoping for. You got A-Chain rolling a little bit. He had 62 yards. Ollie Gordon, 38. You ran for 130. Tyreek Hill was good, not great. He had some missteps. He had 5 receptions for 49 yards and a touchdown. Jaylen Waddle had 39 yards and a touchdown. That's a glimpse of what they're supposed to do. And when they scored on their scoring possessions, that's what it looked like when Mike McDaniel first stormed onto the scene. But the problem is they're not doing it often enough. And the Bills took advantage of that. Josh Allen with another pretty good game. 22 of 28, 213 yards, 3 touchdowns. James Cook cooked for 108 yards and a touchdown. See, I like that mix. The way they run the ball. Again, 27 carries. You're not going to look at the Dolphins or the Bills and the Ravens and see a big discrepancy between carries when you compare those teams to the Broncos. but it's the way they run. It's the flow of the game, and I'm impressed by that when I watch a McDermott team or I watch a Harbaugh team, even the Jim Harbaughs with the Chargers. They run with a purpose. They run like they're setting something up, and then, oh, when they do gain, it's just, and they pass like they're setting something up. There's just a flow to these offenses that I worry about with the Broncos at this stage. But we'll get into that. Broncos Chargers coming up. We'll talk about that. Benjamin Albright going to join me from Broncos Country tonight. Who has the edge in this game? How's he feeling after the loss to the Colts? Maybe he's a little more optimistic about the Colts this time around. We'll have Ethan Bird join us from KGWN-TV talking Wyoming and CU. And then from the other side, we'll have Brian Howell. Who says we're not fair? Brian Howell will join us from Buff Zone talking his perspective as the Buffs look to go back to Caden Salter at quarterback. Interesting ride it's already been for the Colorado Buffaloes. And then we have our quarterback toilet bowl segment that we do. And I have no idea who's winning this right now. Danson, Mike Danson with himself, is the keeper of the toilet. The keeper of the toilet. I need some help with this, Mike. I took, I believe I took Russell Wilson last week. I believe. I'm not sure.
Were you happy with that pick?
I don't even know who I took. I honestly cannot tell you who I took last week.
You didn't take MPJ, did you?
Yes, I did.
Was that the week before or last week?
I know I took MPJ and Russell Wilson. I just don't know in which order.
Well, when did MPJ and the Falcons play Minnesota? That's the question.
Was that Monday night?
Might have been Monday night.
Or was it Sunday night?
Might have been Sunday night.
Or was it Thursday night?
Wasn't Thursday night.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to see if you were a robot. You passed the test, barely.
I was able to find out which pictures were the fire hydrant.
Who needs a win more this weekend between Air Force, CSU, CU, UNC, and the Broncos? Who needs a win more?
CSU.
You don't think CU?
No.
If CU loses to Wyoming, the sky is falling on Boulder.
I think there are plenty of excuses. There are plenty of people who are excusing Coach Prime. There are plenty of ways to explain it away. Oh, and this and then. But with CSU, if they lose this week,
oh,
the sky is really falling.
I think it's
like
CU.
The coach is already on the hot seat.
Yeah, hot seat conversation, Jay Norvell. But for season, the Rams could still make something of the season and lose to UTSA. I mean, they're supposed to. They're dogs in this game. And I still go back to what happened last year. They were 2-3. They played that extra non-conference game because they had Oregon State. They were 2-3 in non-con, and then they won the rest of the way in conference play. Except for against Fresno State. Excuse me. So, I mean, there is a world where, you know, maybe Boise State's not as good as we thought. Air Force isn't as good as we thought. And I agree with Big Hub. He's saying no way CSU is under more pressure than CU. See, and I get where you're going with that, Mike. But if CU loses to Wyoming, they are a 13.5-point favorite in this game. It's going to be rough. Because I already see, I didn't think this day would come. But I do see the turn on the social media. Not necessarily directly at Coach Prime, but certainly surrounding the program. They've already turned on Shurmur. I mean, that was last year. But, I mean, I'm seeing like diehard people that are diehard Buffs guys, that have been diehard Coach Prime guys. Kind of, did you know who they had speak to them this week, Mike? Like on Monday? See you? Ice Cube was in town. And some people had issues with that. They're like, that'll get it going. You know, they got their butts kicked by Houston, and they get to visit with Ice Cube on Monday. Now, again, they probably were punished in the way you get punished if you lose games and if you get beat up. I get that. But when you're losing and the celebrity thing comes into play, then it starts to, I don't know. I don't know if I have that big of an issue with it. But it's something to pay attention to. That's who paid him a visit this week. Talked to him to motivate him, I guess. I got my poll question today. How's this Wyoming football game? How's this Wyoming CU football game going down? Wyoming to win? CU to win? Wyoming plus 13.5? Colorado minus 13.5? 54% like the Cowboys to cover. That's winning in the clubhouse right now. Yeah, Big Hub saying for this week, there's more pressure on CU this week. Go Poke says, Mike and I just became best friends. Or friends. Okay, too far. Just now. Because of the Adazio thing, because he says dude. So you gained some Cowboys fans today, Mike. Good for you. You're still beating yourself up.
I'm very sad.
Don't beat yourself up.
Very, very sad.
I've come to expect it. So
my Fridays are busy.
Take that as a, well, so is everybody's. Welcome to the world. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Just how big is this game for Denver and Los Angeles? We'll get into some of that later on. But yeah, 2-1 on the Thursday night special. Still above 500. We'll take a short break here. Benjamin Albright's going to join us from Broncos Country tonight at the bottom of this hour. And we'll get into it. What's the status of guys like Dre Greenlaw and Evan Engram getting beat up a little bit early on in the season? We'll talk to Benjamin about that. Plenty more to go on this Football Friday presented by the hottest restaurant in Northern Colorado, Big City Roadhouse. Stop by today. Get yourself some... yourself some wings. Tell them I sent you here from the whole show. Or Michael. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
I'll tell you guys about Renaissance Insurance Group, formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County. They're also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call a great friend of mine, that's Ryan, at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825, or visit them online at team-rig.com. That's team-rig.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So this game coming up for the Broncos against the Chargers. Chargers 2-0. Broncos 1-1. I look at what's ahead for all four of the AFC West teams. The Broncos have the Bengals on Monday Night Football, and then they're at the Eagles, and then they're going to London to take on the Jets. Not an ideal situation, although the Bengals, now without Joe Burrow, suddenly that game's not as scary as it was when we were doing preseason predictions. Eagles going to be very tough. And then the Jets in London. That can sometimes be an equalizer. The Chargers are at the Giants this weekend, or the following weekend, excuse me. Then they have the Commanders, and they're at Minnesota. There's a chance. If the Chargers beat the Broncos, there's a chance. There's a chance they could be 6-0. And that's why this one's pretty big. Chiefs are at the Giants this weekend. Then they have the Ravens, and then they've got the Jags. I'm just looking at the next three. Raiders are taking on the Commanders, the Bears, and the Colts. I'm not really worried about the Raiders yet, although I do think they are a better team. I still think it's going to be between... It's a three-headed horse right now in the AFC West. And right now, the Chargers look like they can lead this thing. They could probably, I mean, again, if they beat the Broncos, there's a realistic shot. They should be able to beat the Giants. They should be able to, Commanders are a good team. But Minnesota hasn't shown us really much of anything. Good defense, but that's about it. So it's a big one. Denver's got to find a way to get it done. Coming up later on in the show, in this hour, actually, we'll have our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question of the day. Just think about the AFC West, okay? Think about the AFC West. And then we're going to crown our $20 gift certificate winner. Also, the winner will be included in the chance to win the $100 gift certificate, as well as a signed jersey from Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Coming up next, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. First, we'll take a short break. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on this Football Friday, powered by Big City Roadhouse. With us now on the First Advantage Hotline, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, my friend, I know it's week three, but this one between the Chargers, this feels like a really big early season battle here. You don't want the Chargers to start slowly running away with this lead in the AFC West.
Yeah, you really don't. Chargers currently undefeated at 2-0, sit atop the AFC West by themselves. But chance to get back into it with this one. This is the third division game for the Chargers. They've done nothing but play division games. The first division game for the Broncos. So, certainly one of those matchups where when you look at a division, it's what you call a 2.5 game, right? Because you get the two game swing, the win, the loss on the other, and then whatever the tiebreakers are. Definitely one you don't want to let slip away from you.
All right, so let me ask you about last week. When you look at that, again, we know the leverage thing, all that stuff. It was a crazy ending for the Broncos. But did you walk away from that game going, I mean, because you thought it was going to be a close game anyway when you talked to us Friday. Did you walk away from that game going, maybe the Colts, like, watch out for the Colts? Or maybe you're already there because I've seen your tweets about Daniel Jones. He looks like a completely different human now. Maybe the Colts are a force to be reckoned with.
I think they're better than people think they are. And you got to keep in mind, we took them on without their top two corners and without their best defensive end. So, put that in perspective. The Colts are a better team than people think they are. The offense, now that it's got some consistency at the position, is a lot better than people think it is. And, they've got a heck of a player there in that rookie tight end. So, I think the Colts are somebody to kind of keep your eye on the remainder of the year if they can stay healthy. They look like they've got a little something.
What did you think of the Broncos overall in that game? It came down to a crazy call, strange situation for sure, but it seemed to be the right call, though maybe they missed it with the Will Lutz missed field goal too. Either way you want to slice it, what did you see from the Broncos that you came? Did you come away with more positives, or is there a little concern about this team going forward?
Well, I think there's a little concern. There's a little bit of a blueprint on the defense there. They kind of went after Surtain when his ankle was hurting, and we saw that Singleton himself wasn't is not at his best going away from the football. So a little bit of a blueprint that teams will have to kind of look at some things going forward to attack them defensively. On the offensive side, they force fed Troy Franklin because the Colts just decided not to cover him, but the rest of the offense didn't look all that great. Cortland was struggling with the jam all game. We couldn't get Mims or Engram going, and then Engram, of course, is continuing to rack up the injuries. The only real bright spot, I think, on the offense, other than Franklin having his day, was J.K. Dobbins. And if there's one thing I know about Sean Payton, he'll see something that's working in the ground game and then completely ignore it for 10 weeks. So, that frustrates me a little bit. This team looks like it's at its best if it's a 1-2 punch run team that builds off play action. And, like we said, we've seen Sean Payton. That means we'll have 50 passing attempts and run the ball 8 times next game. So, there's some frustrations that you have. There's some nitpicks that you have, and there's some coaching frustrations you have. You know, there are things on this team that work, and for whatever reason, the coaching staff struggles to stick with those kinds of things. And, you know, that's going to be a tale of what this team's going to be for the rest of the season. Are they going to be a team that plays to the strengths, or are they going to be a team that, you know, that outcoaches themselves trying to prove they're the smartest guys in the room?
And I know I've asked you this already, but it seems like this is a reoccurring thing. Like, I see it on his play sheet, run the ball. We've talked about maybe the ego stepping in with his belief in Bo Nix, but I mean, what is it, man? Because I mean, a little better in the first half as far as carries for these guys, for J.K. Dobbins, but still, I mean, 14 carries for Dobbins, and then R.J. Harvey comes in with 5. I just don't understand. It was a close game throughout, and it still seems like Sean Payton is just very reluctant to try to run that football.
Yeah, I mean, that's just his thing. He's a former quarterback. He was in an offense that. Where he had Drew Brees, who was capable of executing some things that Bo's not capable of executing yet. And, you know, you get stuck and you get used to a certain way. And these things have worked in the past, so you go back to them. And instead of, you know, maybe identifying each situation for what it is. And, you know, that was one of my complaints when we hired Sean Payton. Sean Payton will get away from what works in order to, you know, to play into certain other things. I mean, the thing that bothered me when we hired him was, you know, sort of this genius label that got applied, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Sean Payton won one Super Bowl with a top seven all-time quarterback in Drew Brees. He's got the same resume as Mike McCarthy, and people bristle at the notion when you suggest that you know they have the same resume, but they do. So you know, so this is one of those things. And the reality is when he won the Super Bowl, I mean, they were the number one rushing team. So you know, Sean Payton has got to get back to what works and quit trying to outsmart everybody and outfox everybody and prove that he's the genius and all this other stuff. If you just do what works, the genius takes care of itself.
Well, it's like I'm watching the Bills last night, and I think we talked about this. Even the Bills Ravens game, when they're running the ball, maybe if you compare the stats, yeah, the Bills are probably running about the same amount, maybe, as the Broncos are close. Same with the Ravens, but it's just a flow. It just feels a lot different when they run the ball. It feels like, and again, it sounds so easy, but they run with a purpose. They run to set stuff up. They pass to set up the run. They run to set up the pass. I know there's a lot more intricacies that go into that, but when I watch the Broncos, it almost just feels like we got to check that off the box here. Oh, we forgot to run. Here we go. Let's run it. I don't get that same feel when I'm watching a Bills or Ravens game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's complimentary football, and that's sort of the thing. It just feels like the run game for the Broncos has sort of been a perfunctory thing that, oh, well, we have to do this before we can get back to more passing, you know? And that's sort of been the problem. You know, you made the investment. You've got these running backs. We've got a top-10 running game in the league right now. Let's use the run. And so that's sort of the thing. I don't know if Sean's out to prove that, you know, the haters were all wrong about him, or the haters are wrong about Bo Nix, or whatever the case may be. But I just come from the school of football where if something's working, keep doing it until they stop it. And it just appears like Sean Payton just doesn't do that. He gets too far away from the run, and then, you know, he's got it written all over the play sheet to get back to it, and he ignores that. I mean, you know, it's just a guy who's, you know, kind of frankly set his ways in the way he's going to do things for better or worse. And right now, we saw instances of that in the last game where that was for worse.
Are you getting any kind of a vibe that maybe the Broncos will make that a point of emphasis, and rather than just say it, actually do it? Also, you know, Sean kind of seems like he's a, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but a grudge kind of guy. And he's like, hey, J.K. Dobbins, I feel your pain. The Chargers kind of messed around with you, man. Let's get at him here. Let's give the Chargers a healthy dose of you.
Well, I mean, from the let a guy score touchdowns perspective, yeah, maybe. But, you know, you go back and you look at some of the other times that he's done that, he's not been that guy, not with the running backs anyway. Plus, Sean Payton has struggled against Jim Harbaugh in his career. He's 1-5 in his career against Jim Harbaugh. He was 1-3 against him when he was in New Orleans with San Fran. He's 0-2 against him with the Broncos as the Chargers head coach. Sean Payton has struggled against Jim Harbaugh. So, you know, I don't know that, I think that would be the grudge that I would want to have more so than, you know, telling my running back, I feel your pain, I'm committing to that.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, you mentioned Evan Ingram. How about Dre Greenlaw too? You know, Justin Sternatt as well. Injury updates, all listed as questionable, I believe, at this point?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Greenlaw in this one. We'll see. I think it'll be the Monday night game against the Bengals. I think will be his debut. We'll see. But they're playing that one out of abundance of caution. You know, the last thing with the soft tissue injury is put somebody out there when they're not ready, re-aggravate it, then they're done for the year. It lingers and, you know, it hobbles them and all that. So they're going out of abundance of caution. Engram has just picked up a few bumps and bruises along the way. He had the ankle, his back tightened up on him after he got hit on one play. And so his back's been an issue. The good news is you get Nate Atkins back this week. So, you know, you kind of get that low red zone, H-back, you know, fullback, tight end, kind of hybrid player. You know, honestly, he's the closest thing to the team's Joker than Evan Engram, who's really just a glorified heavy slot receiver. There's some good and some bad in there. Sternad, you know, they're starting to get perilously thin at that inside backer position. They don't get Greenlaw back. So, you know, you need him back. You've got Singleton, who's not played well away from the ball. It broke his thumb twice. You've got Greenlaw, who hadn't hit the field yet. Now you've got Sternad, who's got the injury. And, you know, that leaves Karan Reed, who's a special teamer, and Lavelle Bailey, who's on the practice squad, really is the guys behind them. So, you know, really don't want to get down to where you're scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah, it's injury concerns kind of stacking up a little bit here for the Broncos early in the season. On the Evan Engram side of things, you mentioned it. You know, we heard so much about Sean Payton talking about the Joker position. And we were at least, you know, it was advertised to a lot of us that Engram was going to be that guy. And so far, he's more like, I don't know, the Riddler or something right now, because I'm not sure what his big use is right now with the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't even think the Riddler. That's a headline villain. He's buried in the lore. He might be Kite Man. You know,
as far as the calendar guy.
Well, that's sort of the thing, though. I mean, like when they signed Engram, I tried to warn everybody. Like, Engram's not, when you're saying Joker, I get they're advertising this, but that's not what he is. I mean, he's a heavy slot receiver. He's a little Jordan Humphrey. That's what he is. That's the thing. He doesn't line up in line as a tight end. He's not a fullback or an H-back. He's just a glorified off the line heavy wide receiver. And so that's the thing. Atkins is the closest thing they've got to that air quotes Joker role. So it'll be good to have him back. And Engram, if they can get him healthy, I mean, they had plans for him. You know, they love using him as the spacing concept guy and having a body out there. But the production, at least in terms of fantasy viability, has just not been there.
On the Colts or Colts side, still thinking about the Colts, still damaged from that game, Benjamin. On the Chargers side of things, I mean, they look good. They look red hot. And, you know, for a Harbaugh team, they haven't. It's interesting. The run game has been secondary. Justin Herbert, I'm impressed with his numbers, but also his numbers when he's under pressure. I mean, he was good with that last year, too, but it seems like he's taking that to another level.
Well, yeah, and Greg Roman throwing the ball over the place. I mean, Greg Roman's been a top five rushing attempts, bottom five passing attempts offense almost to the entirety of his offensive coordinating career outside of, I think, the 2021 season with Lamar Jackson. But, they're throwing the ball all of a sudden. And so that's, I think, catching some teams by surprise. They're feeding Quentin Johnson a little more than they should. He's still wildly inefficient, even if he's a little bit better than he has been. But Keenan Allen looks kind of revitalized in his old age out there, you know, strolling around the field in the wheelchair. And then you've got Ladd McConkey, who's he's sneaky fast. He's white. I'm saying he's white.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some receiving talent out there. That's the thing. You don't, the tight end doesn't scare you. You know, Will Disley's kind of there. He's solid, but he doesn't scare you. It's that three-headed Jabberwocky they've got at the receiving core. And then, you know, they really haven't unleashed the full potential of what they've got in the running game with Najee Harris and Amarian Hampton. So what they're doing with an offensive line that frankly is very middle of the road, has been fascinating. It's going to be interesting to see how they change up the game plan this week, because what you saw in Indy was a very good offensive line playing to get it out quick, and that was very effective for them. That's not what the Chargers do. That's not what they've done in week one and week two. A lot of what they've done has been deep overs, deep cross routes, shot plays, stuff like that. And their line is not all that good. So I wonder if they change up what they're doing on offense a little bit this game, simply because the pressure from the Broncos will probably necessitate that.
Yeah, well, and with this secondary with the Broncos, I mean, do you look at that and say, okay, this is when we're going to see kind of more of a traditional Harbaugh, Greg Roman style offense, where they are going to start to really utilize a heavy dose of Amarian Hampton and Najee Harris? Are we going to see that rushing attack really amped up this weekend?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I expect a lot of quick game. They'll take their shots with Quentin Johnson, but a lot of quick game with Keenan Allen and and Ladd McConkey doing the, you know, the quick hitches, the comebacks, things like that, or the cross routes, and then a steady diet of that run game to kind of soften up the pass rush. So that's kind of what I'm expecting this weekend.
All right, Benjamin. The Broncos are dogs in this game, 2.5, I believe. How do you see this one playing out?
I don't like our odds this weekend. As I look forward, I think you're catching a break with no Joe Burrow on Monday night. You've got 2 weeks after that. You got a London game against the Jets. You got the Giants following that. There's some wins down the line, but I don't like our odds this weekend. I've got the Chargers 28, Broncos 20.
Chargers 28, Broncos 20. All right. I hope you're wrong, Benjamin. I wish you the best, but I hope you're wrong, my friend.
One time I thought I was wrong. Turned out I was mistaken.
All right. Well done. We'll catch up with you next Friday, my friend.
All right, brother. Take care.
Benjamin Albright, 28-20. How do you guys feel about that? Hooligans? Shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's funny that Benjamin says that because there is a part of my brain that's like, all right, we've been seeing the Chargers throw the ball all over the place. Justin Herbert, under pressure, under duress this season when he's blitzed, he's 18 of 24, 264 yards and 2 touchdowns with an amazing QBR rating when he's blitzed. His overall rating is phenomenal. He looks like a top-tier quarterback through 2 weeks of football. The Broncos have a pretty good secondary. Now, I know Patrick Surtain gave up the 63 yards or whatever, which really isn't that bad, especially when he's running around on maybe a twisted ankle. Sounds like that's going to be okay. Is this the game where the Chargers really kind of pull the reins back on Herbert and release the running backs a little bit more, especially when the Broncos are banged up on the interior linebacker side of things? So that's something to watch out for this weekend. All right, we got our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question coming up next. We got to get you in the mix for the $20 gift certificate. Meanwhile, give me your picks. You guys know the teams I follow. We got Air Force, CSU, CU, Wyoming, and the Broncos. You can give me all of them. You can let me know what you think the score is going to be for the Broncos-Chargers game. Will the Broncos start the season 2-1 in a pretty important AFC West battle coming up on Sunday? It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
That means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Mike, just getting right into it. I love it. Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question. Here it is. Talking about a lot about the AFC West this week. Great head coaches in the AFC West. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Pete Carroll. All amazing. Here's my question. This is for a $20 gift certificate. And to be involved. Well, this isn't for the gift certificate, but to be in the mix for it. And if you can win that, you're up there for a $100 gift certificate. So here we go. Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Sports memorabilia, Legos, Funko Pops, Pokemon, cards, you name it. They got it. If you're into collecting. How many Super Bowl wins as a head coach are in the AFC West? Basically, between those four gentlemen, how many Super Bowls have they won? Between Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, and Jim Harbaugh. 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. How many Super Bowls between those four head coaches in the AFC West, as a head coach, did they win? Call right now with the answer. Get yourself in for the drawing for this week's $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. 970-353-1310. All right, coming up in the next hour of the show, we've got Ethan Bird. This Wyoming-Colorado game is very interesting. Let's get his thoughts from the Wyoming side of the field from KGWN-TV. We'll talk to him. I'm going to look at Air Force Boise State coming up. Also, Brian Howell will join me from Buff Zone. We'll get his what it looks like on his side of the field, on the Buff side. And then we got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up. Also, CSU, UTSA. Rams are dogs. Rams are dogs in this game. We'll get into it. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Get yourself some pizza right now.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.